All right, are you ready, Maria? Because it's welcome to Sticky Pickles time.
Yes, I am. And I think you're starting, right?
Yeah, I just did it.
Oh, you did it? Oh.
Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Carol.
And I'm Maria, and this is season 5. Episode 2 of Sticky Pickles, Meeting the Rents and Funeral Faux Pas. That was great.
It's perfect.
All right, so Krull, what is your sticky pickle called, Meeting the Rents?
All right, so, okay, caveat, there's a number of actors in this story. It's okay. Worth putting up with all the different characters.
Okay, so I should get some notes.
I think maybe it might be a good idea. So listeners, you too. If you're at home just bored listening to this, you might want a piece of paper to make a little kind of tree here action. Okay, pens at the ready.
Yep, you hear me taking notes?
We have Nixon, okay? Now, Nixon is Morgan and Luke's son. Nixon's been in university for the last 6 months, freshman, right? And he's at the same university that Morgan and Luke met at a quarter century ago.
His name is Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
As in, yep. I am not a crook.
Yep. It turns out that's a popular name. I did some research.
My goodness. Okay. All
right. This is what Google told me. I said, give me some names starting with an N. This is what came up.
But okay.
I love it.
All right.
So on one of his weekly call to the parents, you know, at the Sunday afternoon.
Oh, weekly. He's fancy. Okay.
He is fancy. Yeah.
Fancy.
Nixon, you know, getting all shy and stuff, says he's met someone special.
Aww.
And he'd like to take her home to meet the Rents.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Morgan and Luke. And everyone is super excited. Parents have never properly met a girlfriend of their son. So this is all a really big deal.
They knew this was going to happen eventually.
Exactly. And this is the day they've been waiting for. So day arrives.
Mm-hmm.
Nixon and Billy, that's her name.
Billy. Okay.
Pull into the driveway. Yeah, write that down.
Billy, right? Okay.
Nixon, Billy, little love heart. They pull into the driveway and parents are waiting outside to welcome them, right? And Nixon's totally embarrassed. Just like, Jesus Christ. But Billy is like, this is so nice. Come on. My parents would never do this.
That's a lot. It's a lot to meet them in the driveway.
I know. But she loves it. He's mortified. And, you know, they meet her, but parents kind of hug her awkwardly. You know, that awkward hug, you know, kind of warm but tentative first hugs you get when you meet
like,
family members.
We're trying to make sure there's a tiny bit of distance, but also caring about you and being like, you're welcome, but who the hell are you? Yeah, okay.
Right? Everyone's just trying to be really great, but like everyone's overthinking everything. And but Billy, like Billy's amazing. Billy arrives and she gives them a wisteria cutting, which is perfect because Luke's like an avid gardener.
A wisteria cutting. Okay.
Yes.
I'm also writing that down because she's a freshman in college, is she not?
Yes.
That is a very coastal grandma thing to do. I'm just saying, wisteria.
It's interesting you said coastal. That comes back later. Interesting.
Oh, put a pin in coastal. All right. Put a pin in that. All right. And also, maybe put a pin in overthinking. I feel like that may become a theme. Okay. Wisteria cutting, overthinking coastal.
You do need to have your brain for this one. Okay.
I'm working hard. I'm working hard.
All right. Okay. So, Luke, the dad.
Luke.
Ushers everyone into the house, right? Happy, happy. And Morgan is off to put the champers, which Billy also brought, a bottle of champagne.
Okay.
To put the champagne on ice and to go with the apple cake that Morgan has made. And Luke is helping them in with their weekend bags. And it's all kind of, you know, going, he's showing them their rooms, all this stuff.
Okay, and do they live in like a villa on the coast with a view of the bay or something? Like
they're a little bit loaded. They have like a house with like a garage, you know, above the garage apartment thing.
Yeah.
You know, 3-car garage apartment.
3-car garage. Yeah. All right, they fancy.
They're fancy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Luke, Papa, he's a curious man. And he can be known to assault people with questions. So as he's showing them the apartment, right, above the garage, he starts to ask questions like, you know, things like, so where did you two meet? And they're like, oh, an economics class 101, you know, and like, you share a lot of classes. And like, oh, you know, a few. And where are you from, Billy? And she goes, oh, like a small coastal, small coastal town, right? And she names it.
Okay.
And Luke's like, oh my God, I know that place well. We used to live there. In fact, Nixon turns to his son, when you used to live there when you were a teeny tiny baby. And he's like, who are your folks, right? We might know them.
Okay.
And she says, they still run the local hardware store, right? Been at it for 30 years or something. And Luke smiles and says, how fabulous, and tells the two kids to settle in and to come down for cake and champagne.
Okay. Okay.
And he bops down the stairs whistling. But as soon as he's out of sight, he like, I don't know, he just freezes. And he's like, I should tell Morgan. I don't know if I should. I don't know what to do. And he decides to call you, Maria.
Okay.
Okay, because he needs advice. And he needs advice right now.
Okay.
Now, Morgan and Luke, the parents, right, they know Billy's parents. They, in fact, they used to be super close friends when the two kids were babies. And this couple used to come over and hang out, and Morgan would cook up a feast and they'd hang out, and the babies would often fall asleep. And they took to putting the, you know, the baby, Billy, into the spare room for a snooze.
All right.
Mm-hmm. But then one day back then, a mutual acquaintance asked Luke, you know, he says, hey, let's go to the local dive bar and have a beer. And he says, look, I asked you because I have some seriously shitty news. I've seen a picture of your wife with party balloons. And he does the inverted comma thing on balloons. And Luke blanches because he knows exactly what this is. These are saucy nude pics of Morgan, his wife, with like balloons in strategic places.
Uh-huh.
These are 5 years old. Luke hasn't seen them in years. In fact, they are kept in the spare room in a box under the bed.
Okay. This is taking some wild turns. All right.
And he's like, who showed you? And he goes, I think you can guess, says the mutual friend. So Luke runs home. And sure enough, the shoebox has been ransacked of all the sexy pics that they took when they first met, Morgan and Luke. Even the ones of him being like a nude breakfast buffet bar where she stacked him with like a dozen pancakes and maple syrup.
Okay, sexy and delicious. All right.
And in fact, like he's wildly remembering, he's telling you this. He's like, this is the very reason, Maria. This is the reason we left that beautiful coastal, town all those years ago when Nixon was a baby, because out of the sheer humiliation that we knew someone who'd stolen our pics and was showing them around.
Okay, yep.
Okay, so this is the parents of Billy, the girl who is sitting in the other room, whose son's smitten with. And Luke is having a bit of a cardiac arrest, or feels like it, because he's like, do I say something? Do I not? Do I tell Morgan, my wife? Do I not?
Okay, so let me just make sure I understand, because so it's the parents recognize that the girl their son is dating, that girl's parents were assholes to them way back in the day.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. So they have like a parent hatred, but they never confronted him, right? They just ran, they just ditched town, ghosted him effectively before the word even existed.
So the source of their angst is not like, I'm worried that they're going to show our pics. I think they've moved past that. It's more just like, we hate those people. Like, they were dicks to us, but a very long time ago.
Yes.
Like 20-something years long.
Super dicks to us, as far as they're concerned. But, like, the daughter seems super nice.
Okay. Yes. Understood. I'm with you. Okay.
And hopefully our listeners are, too, now. Thank you, Maria.
You're welcome. Okay. Yeah.
He's on the phone with you, and he's like, what do I do now? Like, do I tell my son and his girlfriend about this? Do I not?
He's asking me this. I don't think you tell, no.
Do you tell the wife, oh my God, she's the daughter of that guy and that woman?
I guarantee you the wife already knew. She already put that together.
Interesting.
I bet they realized it around the same time. But I don't think this is any of the kids' problem, to be honest. Like, this is a parent drama thing, and I'm just like, leave your kids out of it. It's not their problem.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so 3 months down the line, hey, we're going to have, like, all the parents' dinner together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You just go and look at the face of the person that stole your nudie pics?
How long ago was it? 20 years ago?
25, probably.
I want those nudie pics because I bet I looked amazing.
What? Yeah.
I'd be like, if you still have them, that'd be great.
It might be a little stained, you know?
All right. So worst case scenario, they showed their daughter your nudie pics. Do we really think they would do that? The internet exists. So it's not like she's never seen a naked person.
I just think as a kid, you'd be like, why are you not nicer to the parents? Like, this might be a woman that I really like. So.
Yep.
Like, I think it's hiding. Yeah. It kind of breeds secrets, though, right? Because you're pent up.
Yeah. I imagine things would be very frosty. Unless the other parents came and took them aside and they were like, listen, 20 years ago, we were absolute assholes to you. I hope you can forgive us. As far as we're concerned, like, you know, that was totally our bad or something. And if the OG parents are like, yeah, water under the bridge, then everything's good. Or it can just be frosty and everybody's got their private secrets. And I don't know. 20 years is a long time to hold a grudge, personally, but...
If it was nude pictures of you stolen from you by a friend, you wouldn't forget. I think I would wear that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying you forget it.
I agree with you, though. I think that's the only way out of this in a smart way is when the parents meet, if they don't say anything to them and say, fuck, yeah, sorry, then maybe I would, because I would be cold after that. And I think I would tell my son the QT saying, look, this is the sitch. And then you
need
to know.
Yeah, that, like, these people are two-faced assholes and they were assholes to us 20 years ago. It's not a reflection on their daughter.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just one of those, like, if you're going to get serious with her, let it be known, like, if they become your in-laws, don't let them out of your eyesight. Like, or don't trust them with anything sensitive because you never know who they're going to flap their gums to.
Because you can't choose your parents.
And can't choose your in-laws.
There you go. There you go, Maria.
There you go. And I love that you have a story involving in-laws because I do too.
Oh, fantastic. So tell me about funeral faux pas, Maria.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So my story involves a married couple, Tariq and Shauna.
Mm-hmm.
And Tariq is a pretty steady Freddy guy, like pretty much unflappable. Like, things do not really get under his skin. If somebody's being kind of a dick to him, he doesn't take it personal, but he also wants to make it right. Like, he wants to know why this person doesn't like them and see if he can smooth it out as best he can.
Like a peacemaker.
Yeah, but he's not going to obsess over it necessarily. But, like, if the relationship's important, he'll be like, I want to make this work.
Okay.
Flip side, he's married to Shauna, who is a total fucking anxious mess. Mm-hmm. Here's some important context for this story. Tariq, remember I mentioned the in-laws? He's on the rocks with his in-laws, with Shauna's parents.
Mm-hmm.
They never liked Tariq, Shauna's parents. They never, ever liked him. It was one of those situations where even though Tariq is like, he's got his MBA, he is a very successful man in his job, he's well-respected in his community, he dresses well, he's clean, he's got healthy hobbies, like all that stuff. He's a nice, genuinely nice person. Well, he's not good enough for our Shauna.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very confusing to him because he's like, well, everybody else seems to like me, but my in-laws just won't give me the time of day. And mm-hmm. because they're his in-laws, he's pretty keen to stay on their good side. And he doesn't really know what he's done, what sin he has committed to mm-hmm. piss off his in-laws aside from fall in love with their daughter and marry her and be married to her for like 15 years. But apparently that's a sin. Anyway, he legitimately tries to be on the good side of Shauna's parents. And Shauna.
Yeah, but there's so much you can try. Like, after a while, you'd be a little bit like 15 years of like trying to appease people that seem to not like you for no reason.
Unappeasable. Yeah, yeah. It's irritating, but he does genuinely keep trying. He, you know, he'll invite them over to dinner with him and, you know, him and Shauna, a nice little family dinner.
Like, does Shauna, how does she react to that?
What, to Tariq?
To Tariq being kind of like you know, he must tell her occasionally, like, it's a bit chilly around here. Like, they're not really warm. Does she talk him up? Does she side with him? Or does she kind of play the middle ball and not give anyone anything?
She sides with him, but it's not discussed. Nobody ever outs and says, hey, I don't like Tariq. It's just Frosty. And he doesn't quite know why, aside from, like, attitudes of, like, eh, he's So, and she's an anxious mess, probably because of her parents. So, like, it's...
Yeah.
She's been henpecked to death her whole life by her parents. So she's an anxious mess. Big, big surprise. So, you know, they'll have a dinner, just the in-laws and the Tariq and Shauna, and they're not impressed. He wasn't a good enough host. If he'll help them out at their house, if they need home repair help, well, he didn't do it right. We had to hire a plumber anyway, you know, something like that. Nothing he ever does is good enough. Okay. So fast forward to recently, like a couple months ago, Shauna's grandmère, her grandmother, right? She's in the hospital. So Shauna's mother, both a mess emotionally, because grandmère is, you know, the linchpin of the family. And Shauna's trying her best to keep things together for her family. She's trying to take things off her mom's plate and, you know, coordinate things. So she's, you know, coordinating care plans and visitation times at the hospital. She's in and out of the hospital, talking to the nurses and the doctors, on the phone with the social worker, you know, updating distant family and all the cousins from now out of town, like what's going on with grandmère. You know how much work that is. It's exhausting. Yep. And it's not just like logistically you're on the road or just out of the house all the time. You don't feel like you get 2 minutes to rest, but you're on the phone with people all the time and everyone's asking the same two questions because Shauna doesn't want people bothering her mom because her mom is basically preparing herself for the inevitable. And she's trying to be like, I'll do this communications coordination for you, but it's a pain in the ass. It's hard.
Okay.
So Shauna, Miss Anxious Mess, is not getting nearly enough sleep. And this whole thing is very traumatic for her. So this has ratcheted up her anxiety to 11 gajillion million.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm totally 100% with you.
Tariq is like, okay, my wife is normally a tad anxious. And now it's like real bad. Do you know anyone who's highly anxious, Kroll?
No one comes to mind.
Right. So... As you can probably guess what happens when someone gets highly anxious, they start developing some extremely annoying habits like, oh, I don't know, henpecking and asking people questions to death. I don't know why I know this, but it feels like a very natural thing to me.
Like a true detective.
Right. I'm going with the method.
Yeah.
Like this is a method acting. I'm just trying this out for myself. So Tariq is like, all right, life has gotten really annoying because this is the interactions with his wife lately. Do you really want eggs for breakfast? I thought you liked toast. What about the sausage? No, that sausage is no good. Okay, those eggs, you want them sunny side up or do you want them scrambled? No, I thought you didn't like it that way. Okay, why are you having it that way? Wait, why are we taking the car? Or shouldn't we take a ride share? Well, that's really bad. No, I thought you didn't want to take the car. Isn't the car in need of detailing? And what about the tie? Oh, that tie? No, you can't wear that tie. What about the red tie? Are you sure? I thought you liked blue.
So no. She's very present. She's very present in the relationship. She is very connected.
I think my husband just retreated into his shell with that little reenactment I just gave. Poor Eric is like, you're too good at that. That was so natural for me also. I can't.
It sounded great. It sounded like first rate acting, actually.
Sure. Acting. So yeah, all the questions all the time. Poor Tariq is like, I'm going to hang in there because I know this is just like, it's temporary, but Jesus Christ, this is so annoying. So sadly, after months of hanging on, a noble journey comes to an end and sweet grandmère passes away. The sadness. And she takes her amazing gumbo recipe with her. Everybody's really choked up about it.
Like she doesn't take the recipe with her in the casket.
Not literally.
Okay, just checking.
In her gray matter.
Okay, in her brain. She just didn't share it. Okay.
Let's be real. Recipes like that are never written down anywhere. So. We're at the funeral. We're at the funeral. Shauna's in full-on crisis handling mode for mom. You know, because her mom's a total mess, of course. Mourning, her, you know, her mother. You know, she's in the front pew at the church or funeral home or wherever they're at. And she's weeping and wailing. And Shauna's like, okay, I got to really, you know, hold it down for mom and take care of all the stuff. So, mom, let me handle all of it. I've got it. Everything. No detail left untouched. No question left unasked.
Okay. So, like, what a great daughter.
Right.
Wow.
I've got this, mom.
So yeah, it's not like I'm going through any bullshit.
No, not at all. I've got it totally. I'm handling it. So Tariq is there with his wife. You know, they're all in their morning suits. Mourning.
His wife being Shauna.
His wife being Shauna, right. And, yep. You know, he's there mourning his grandmother-in-law, who he didn't know, but he's there for Shauna and his mother-in-law. And, of course, he's cognizant of the fact that people there, many of them don't like him. So he's trying to be on his absolute best behavior. Meanwhile, Shauna is, again, asking all the questions. So, Tariq, are you sure you don't want to sit there? Wait, you could sit here. Wait. Oh, no. The air vent is flowing down over there, so maybe we should sit over there. What about a cushion? Do you want to have a cushion? Because these are kind of hard seats. I know your hemorrhoids are going to act up.
This is called overthink. This is called, like, this is why meditation is a super cool thing to do.
Remember I said to put a pin in overthink earlier? Because I was like, this is a theme for this episode. Unintentionally. I love that we both arrived there. That's amazing. And she's like, okay, Tariq, wait, don't forget to silence your phone. Did you remember to silence your phone? Because we don't want that going off when the priest gets here. And did you decide what you wanted to do for the after service meal?
He's going to explode. I'm about to explode.
Chicken or beef?
I'm actually about to explode. Just listening.
Are you sure you wanted beef? Because I thought you didn't like the beef. Tariq does explode. And he says not at the top of his lungs, but loudly enough that more than Shauna can hear, good God, when will this end? And everybody that hears, and that includes Shauna's mom, turns around with fury in their eyes at Tariq.
Oh, of course, because this is not the environment to have exploded in. Like, if there's any environment where the popcorn's got to pop, it can't be at a funeral.
It can't be at a funeral. And they all think he's talking about the funeral. Oh. Not Shauna's head.
So what did he say again?
Good God, when will this end?
Oh, of course. So they all, oh no.
Oh no.
This is very unfortunate for Tariq. I really feel for the guy.
What? Okay. What Ken should, aside from like literally run out of the room crying or something dramatically, what should this poor man do?
If I'm Tariq, in that instance, I think I would make my excuses and leave because I didn't know grand-mère. My wife's being crazy, though I understand why, but I've obviously reached my limit and I can't be trusted to say anything further because I'm about to explode. And this is not the place to do it, no matter what, right?
Right.
So I would just extract myself and be sure I'm there near the end of the funeral outside, right? I'll just go for a walk and cool the F down.
Yeah. That does feel like sort of the only thing you can do in that situation if you utterly make an ass of yourself, even unintentionally.
Yeah. And then you have to apologize, obviously, afterwards to everybody and take all the shit. And you know what? Maybe there's a relief in this because now there's a reason people don't like you. Right now, there's a reason. And
oh, brilliant. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Everyone can go, oh, yeah, he's the guy who ruined my grandmother's funeral, my mother's funeral, whatever. And he'll be like, yeah, no, I did.
Oh,
that happened.
Brilliant. That's such a good way of thinking of it. Cause I was going to say, if he tries to explain away why he said what he said, then they're going to be like, well, why are you being an asshole to Shauna in her moment of grief?
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, he can't get out of it. So just embrace it, you think?
Yeah, embrace it. Embrace it. Get out of Dodge. Calm down. Come back. Apologize and embrace the shit that is coming your way because you know you deserve it.
But also, you're right, though. If someone's opinion of you can't get any lower, that is kind of a relief. You're not trying to salvage the remainder, the detritus of your reputation. You're like, they think I'm shit. Great. I'm just going to be shit.
Yeah. Because now it's not because, you know, I have, you know, anything, whatever they don't like about him, right? Whether his nose is too big or his feet are too
Pick
small
a thing.
Or
yeah.
whatever it is that they decide, blah, 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 blah. Now they can embrace it.
Brilliant. That was awesome, Kroll.
There we go. That's it for this week's Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Get off your butts and review. Or don't. You know.
It would be nice. Yeah. And you can get in touch with us on social media. And because we are back, ladies and gentlemen, and babies. Ladies and gentle thems, we are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter and at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. We're on there. And anything else you can find on stickypickles.com.
Yay! And see you guys next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye. Have we heard from Turtle?
Nope. Nothing from Turtle.
Turtle.
They probably haven't heard yet.
That's true.
Or they're mortified.
Turtle, if you're out there, we're still looking forward to hearing from you. And I hope you're doing your homework and brushing your teeth. But yes, we're rooting for you, Turtle.
Brilliant.